by Allen Ives, by the way, just so you know.
I've never had much in this world below, but I'm going to a city where the streets are pure gold. Christ made me an heir, I'm a child of a king. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything. Shake hands with a poor boy, and how do you do? Have you met my father? He cares about you. He's the king of all glory. His praises I sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything. I'm depending on heaven for my home in the sky. Already I'm headed for the sweet by and by. I've been adopted and placed with a king. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything. Shake hands with a poor boy, and how do you do? Have you met my father? He cares about you. He's the king of all glory, his praises I sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything. Shake hands with a poor boy, and how do you do? Have you met my father? He cares about you. He's the king of all glory, his praises I sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
Yeah, we're not really started yet. I'm just playing music. This accidentally started somehow, so yeah. So I'm just kind of doing a pre-warm-up here, and then I'll get to the topic, and I'll edit this out on sermon audio for 20 or 30 minutes, so that won't be on there. But you'll just have to bear with me here. Let's see. A question was asked by Cornell. He asked me, Pastor, what's your thoughts on Tim Keller? This is Tim Keller. You go from the Southern Baptist Convention, and I will tell you what I think of Tim Keller. He is a wolf. He is a wolf. That's what Tim Keller is, an absolute wolf. Now, for the other question that somebody asked me about, or was it Siri? No, it wasn't, because I have no Siri hooked up to this. This is Windows, so I don't know what happened. I have no idea, but it was weird. It was weird, whatever it was. But anyway, that's okay. All right. Now, let's go in for another song, because I'm trying to wait for people to get on. Give them a chance, because they're used to me starting at 2. And I'm starting much earlier today for some reason. So maybe I'll finish up a little bit earlier. Who knows? Let's go to another song here. I don't think I have any Ray Hart songs. Somebody asked me about Ray Hart. I don't think so. I don't think I have any of those. This is a man by the name of Bill Burr. I like this guy too. Mm-hmm.
again I face Satan this morning.
Rachel recommends. I'm going to play this. Ray Hart, Until Then.
Yeah.
Wow, amen. That was good. That old boy, he had some pipes on him, didn't he? All right. So check him out there on YouTube. That is Ray Hart. First time I ever heard him. All right. Now, this website, you ask me about this a lot. Some of you. HBCNYC.org/music. Here is Darcell McCoy. And here is the song that I play many times, I should say, before I start my broadcast, which we're almost time to start here. So, we'll play that.
We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen and amen. OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church. And we're back for another broadcast here. This is Monday. 2 p.m. Central Time is supposed to be. Hey, it is 2 p.m. Central Time, right on the dot. I started early, 20 minutes early. I don't know how it happened. I just did. I was talking about a song called What in the World is Gopher Wood to myself. And I was talking to myself, and then I looked, and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm online here. What happened? So I don't know what happened. But I was laughing at that song, and I thought, well, I'll play it for you so you know what I'm laughing about. So that's what I was laughing about. It's a funny song. But Carla Ray said, love your sermons. Well, praise the Lord. I hope they're a blessing to you, and they help you in your walk with the Lord. And somebody else said up there, Elohim, have mercy, said, thank you for your sermon. Fight your own sin first. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that was a blessing to you as well. Are you going to do more work on the word preservation and the Septuagint? And I know Alex asked, yes, 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 I am. I'm not done with that yet. I preached this last week on the King James on the Bible text issue, and that sermon will be on this week. And then, yes, I will be getting back into the technical PowerPoint stuff where I kind of slow down and teach through what happened back then. Lord willing, I'll be doing that this week. Sometimes you have to study a bunch of stuff like that, and then you got to kind of wait a little bit because your brains are like melting. So for me, it was just better for me to back off a little bit. I had studied a bunch, and the Lord had led me. There's certain things that the church needs. And when God teaches me and shows me there's certain things that the church needs, I kind of stop what I'm doing and address some things through sermons that our church needs. And then you all get the benefit of it when it goes out. And maybe sometimes you don't even understand it because what's going on. You don't have to. It's all Bible, but that's what happens. It helps you to understand what's really going on, in the scriptures there, what God shows us. So we should be back to that on Sunday here. Lord willing, we'll see how it goes here. I'll be working on it probably starting, tomorrow probably or so, or Wednesday. Maybe we'll see what happens here, but it'll definitely be, we've got preaching on Saturday, so I got to get some stuff done early if I'm going to do that. Probably start working on that tomorrow, maybe. I just don't know yet. But anyway, I got to get to it. I already have an outline ready. I just have to put it to PowerPoint and I've kind of held off on it for a few weeks, but we'll get to that and get back into it there. Okay. So, all right. So if you want good music right there, look at this website, hbcnyc.org. /music, when you look at this, you see Darcell McCoy. He's that. The song you just heard, Victory in Jesus, My God is Real. I've played all of his songs before, probably. Don't mind the Alan Jackson stuff. You don't need any of that. And here's the Handel's Messiah one that I've used, which is pretty good, by the way. There's some a cappella songs down there. And that's one site. This is where you order all of Allen Ives' music. And, seeing all of Allen Ives' music is right here in front of you, you ought to order it, right? MP3s you can download. Buy these people's stuff, will you? Buy their albums from them. Support these people. They love the Lord. They don't have any money. They're not rich. They don't have any money. They're God-fearing people that devote most of their time to the ministry and the Lord's work. They're not doing it to get rich. Believe me, people that sing these hymns don't get rich. Yes, he is the yodeler. And you will find his yodel songs, yodel, 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 right here. Look. 99 cents, but buy the whole album because it's worth it. It's $9.99 for this album. You're going to waste that on a cup of coffee or two. And by the way, I'm not getting anything for this. I don't make any money on any of this. I need to start myself a bookstore and a music store. That's what I need. But anyway, you download that and pay $9.99 for that. Don't be a cheapskate. All right? And I'm talking to Chew. What's his name? I forgot his name. T.D. Jakes. They forgot about Chew. They forgot about Chew. They forgot about Chew. I'm talking to Chew. Whoever he is. Anyway, there's... Here we go. I own all of these, and they're all good. Okay. I like this Anchored in Jesus. It's a really good one, too. All of them are really good. And there's a few, here's the, and this album has the Yodel Trio on it. Are you watching? Are you paying attention out there? You better be paying attention. Don't make me come over there. You listen. All right. Anyway. Paul says, I need a gig like you, Pasta. Oh, boy. So, here's the albums. Anyway, again, God-fearing people, they don't make any money off this stuff. They give away more than they ever make. So, anyway, you just look at that stuff and go help those folks out. Be a blessing to them. They're a blessing to us. They share their music with everybody. And my wife grew up listening to Allen Ives and his wife, and Rachel did, playing at the camp and different places like that, and they were blessed by them. So you do your best to be a blessing to these folks, and you won't be sorry for getting good music in your home, getting good music on your phone, and all that good stuff. I don't know if there's an echo in here or not. I have no idea. I'd have to have Andrew check that and find out if there... Why there is an echo in there? All right. Okay. All right, looks like we got everybody here. I don't know. Do you guys hear an echo in there? I can't hear it, so I can have Andrew listen to it and let me know, but I don't know. I can't tell. Obviously, I'm on this side. But let's see here. We're going to get started with what we're talking about here. You just remember that if it's not that guy watching you, the Neutner. The Neutner is always around. Okay. All right. I just got feedback from outer space that there is no echo. Wait, did you just ask me what, Warrior of Christ, did you just ask me what the Neutner? What is the Neutner? Okay, make sure your mic is close. I don't know how to get it any closer. Ever since we moved this, Andrew, I've been having issues with this thing, getting it close to my head. Whoa. Killed it. Oh. There we go. All right. Okay. All right, there we go. Now it's close to my head. Sounds fine to Becca. All right. You don't know who the Neutner is? What's the Neutner? What? What in the world? Okay, I'm getting secret. Okay, the Neutner is the charismatic Neutner. You don't know who that is? No, I can't talk about charismatics today. I got to get to my outline today. All right? And it's the, but that charismatic anointer, he shows up every time the anointing's coming down. The, every time the anointing's coming down. Oh, man, I got to adjust this. Hold on. All right, there we go. There we go. Now I got it. The anointing. Look, you're about, look, Warrior for Christ, you are literally about 1,000 broadcasts behind right now. Okay. That anointer right there, if you see him, he's the one that gives all the power to the charismatics. He's the anointer. Okay. All right. I didn't read this. Okay. We're going to get started here. No, this is my mocking their charismatic powers. Like a bad episode of the Justice League. Oh, great. All right. So I want you to turn. We're going to get into the Bible here. And you're going to learn some things. All right. But that's what it is. It's a joke. It's just like a mascot that we made up that I made a bunch of charismatic people mad at me. And man, were they angry with me. They're still mad. It's been years. They're still mad. Carl, did you make up the anointer? Was it you? Or was it Terry? I can't remember who made the anointer up. Hello, Samuel Hall. Meanwhile, back at the Samuel Hall of Justice. Who was it? Was it Terry that made that up? I can't remember who it was. All right. Who did that for us? Oh, the anointer's always been there, though, but I thought somebody put that. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we just kind of. Oh, that's right. I remember that. Yeah, okay. Stop confusing me, Carl. Stop making things difficult for me. All right, now we are going to talk about these wolves. We have talked about the wolves before. We've talked about them before, haven't we? Well, now we're going to get into them again. Kind of look at what these wolves, the false prophets, do. And how they afflict people and how they afflict the people of God. A wolf is a false prophet who claims to speak messages from God, but who teaches false doctrine. I told you I was going to go back to the Way of Life Encyclopedia, and we were going to do kind of some outline work from there, because I used my own outline on the last one, and I was going to use some of David Cloud's notes there that he had in the Way of Life Encyclopedia, which are very good and very helpful. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 13 is going to deal, and verse 1 through 11 is going to deal with a false prophet. Remember that number 13 that we talked about? Let's see. Where'd we have that number at? I think it might be back here, maybe. Let's see. Nope, it's this way. Remind you of that number 13. Somewhere. I thought it was in this study. Maybe it wasn't. Losing me brains. Happens sometimes. Oh, that was in the Sodomite one, I think, maybe. That's what I'm thinking of, probably. Possibly. But that's okay. All right. So, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. If there arise, remember that number 13 is rebellion. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far away from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him. Neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Now, you and I know we're not going to kill anybody now. This is not the Old Testament. Jesus came. He died for sinners. Israel was under the law to put to death false prophets. We are not under that law because we are under grace. However, the principle here given, is a principle of putting down false doctrine. Remember, so what is the New Testament equivalent to this? I'll show you right now. Here's what Jesus told us to do. Here's the New Testament equivalent. Jesus gives instructions. He that loveth, let's back up. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So here's what the Lord is telling us. There are false prophets that are going to arise. And you are to expose the false prophet. And you are not to follow them. Many family members of people get into heresy and get into false doctrine, and wolves come in to deceive sheep through family members. By the way, if anyone can get you to compromise the scriptures, listen to me. If anybody can get you to compromise the scriptures, it's your family. Jesus is telling you of the danger a family. That they could come in, and because of their influence and love that you have for them, they could come in and they could persuade you not to follow the Lord. The pattern is still there today. They can persuade you to turn away from God. Family connections, your grandchildren, your babies. Your children don't want to serve the Lord, but they want you to compromise. Matthew 7:15. We talked about that. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. The false prophets are ravening wolves. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, that is privately, secretly, they do it in secret. They don't do it openly, they do it secretly. In a church, it happens like that. They'll do it secretly. What they'll do. They won't do it so the shepherd of the sheep will know what's going on. They'll do it secretly. That's why the pastor always has to be nosy. Has to listen for things that are being taught by other members in the church. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. The Bible gives us several tests to determine if a prophet is of God. Number one, his predictions must come to pass. Look at Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, verse number 21. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Any failure of a prophecy to come to pass would designate a false prophet. Bible prophets never failed in their predictions. But here's another thing. Even if he says something that's true, if he leads you away from God, that is a wolf. Even if a prophet's predictions is accurate, if he preaches a God other than the very Lord Jesus Christ of the scriptures, he is false. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, look what it says here, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. Even if what he says happens, if he's teaching another Jesus, another gospel, You don't follow him at all. His message must line up with the Bible. Look at Isaiah chapter 8. God's word is the final authority on everything. That King James Bible. Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 20. Actually, look at verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There's no light in them. And you're not to follow them. You're not to follow their pernicious ways. You're to turn away from such. He must seek to turn people from sin. Also, a true prophet or preacher of God, and not a wolf, by the way. Wolves preach too. Jeremiah 23:22, look what it says here. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. This is what a preacher of righteousness does. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil way and from the evil their doings. If you're preaching God's book, the King James Bible, then you will teach men to turn from sin. By the way, number 5, he must bring forth good fruits in line with the scriptures. Again, back to Matthew 7. We talked about that the other day. Matthew 7, verse number 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Here's what he's saying here. God, by the way, that's not to make you afraid that you're not a Christian or that you're not saved. Or a pastor to fear, well, maybe I'm not this and maybe I'm not that. No, what it says is this. When you are of God and your message is of God, you are a good tree and your evidence is not to serve the Lord your whole life and then wonder, man, maybe I'm not real now or something. No. What it shows you is what's the fruit of your ministry. God says, I've left you an identifier. I've left you fruit. look at the fruit of your ministry. Look at the fruit of your life. Look at the fruit of the work of the ministry that God has brought you to. Is the fruit good fruit? Does it bear much fruit? Is it good fruit? Yes, because it's a good tree. And I know that whatsoever God doeth, amen, it shall last. Ecclesiastes 3:14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That's the fruit of the ministry. That's what God says. You're going to have fruit that abounds. It'll be there. People will be able to look. And once they get past all the rhetoric of everything, they're going to say, is the gospel preached? Are men saved? Are their lives changed? Do they walk in obedience to the Lord? And that's the fruit. Because you'll know them by their fruits. What does it produce? What does the preaching of that book produce? What does the living of that life produce? What does the gospel seed inside of them produce much fruit? And then it's hard to argue. Amen? God says that. He says, you know what? Those prophets, if they're real, if they're real preachers, if they're real shepherds and not wolves, what's the fruit of their ministry? Amen. Number six, you must not teach heresy. That would be 2 Peter 2:1. Where we were just at. Oops, chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Now he's talking about damnable heresies. Denying the Lord. Denying the lordship of Christ. Says they're pernicious ways. Now there's dangers to this false teaching that these people teach. Dangers that these wolves teach. Number one, one of the main dangers that a wolf will teach is against biblical salvation. Without the gospel, men are not saved. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 1 through 4, shows us what the gospel is. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The first part of the gospel is sin. It's dealing with sin. That Christ died for our sins. That you must repent. You're a sinner. It's very dangerous to preach something other than what the gospel says. Colossians 1. By the way, I don't believe all this easy belief. I believe it's easy. That term, easy believism, should be changed to what David Cloud calls quick prayerism. Because it isn't hard to believe in that sense. Jesus did pay it all. It's really called quick prayerism. With no conviction, with no understanding that they're lost and dead in sins and that they need to be saved. It's really quick prayerism. It is easy to believe, thank God. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 21. Look what it says here. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse number 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So sound doctrine is very important. False doctrine opens up the Christian to many satanic attacks. Abiding in false doctrine is dangerous. So when wolves teach people, they seduce them with false doctrines, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And it's dangerous to hold on to false doctrine. Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore as a soldier. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now think about this. Having your loins girt about with truth. Your loins are the strength of a man. Your core. It's got to be girt about, held up with truth. Strengthened with the truth. If you're not, then the devil is going to crush you. False doctrine also brings shame. At the judgment seat. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Famous verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God. By the way, do you see it doesn't say there, read to show thyself approved unto God. It says study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We should know the scriptures. We should disdain false doctrine so we are not ashamed. We're to shun profane and vain babblings. We're to know the scriptures and know them well. The best way to know of a counterfeit is to know the original, to know the authentic. False doctrine opens us up to many attacks and much shame. False doctrine injures our spiritual life. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse number 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. That's like the sacred namers. Oh, you got to say God's name right. You got to say it in Hebrew right. If you don't say it in Hebrew right, then you don't say it right. God's not going to hear you. What are they doing? They're striving about words to no profit. But the goal is to subvert the hearers, to overthrow them, to destroy them, to talk them out of their Bibles. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker. You know what a canker is? Cancer. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? But they are. False doctrine is a leaven which corrupts the entire body. Galatians 5:9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Is it not a little one, said Lot, and my soul shall live? Is it not a little one? Fellowship with false doctrine can keep the Christian from getting his full reward. 2 John, verse 8 through 11. Look at this. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So we are not to even allow them into our homes. We are not to even entertain them. We're to reject them and their teachings because they're dangerous. These wolves are very dangerous. This is how they operate. God's men have a duty, and I'm not going to get into that really because it doesn't have a whole lot to do with most of you out there. But God's men, his pastors, they have a duty to protect God's people from false teachings. Acts chapter 20, Paul said about the warnings that he gave. He gave warnings about the sheep, right? For the sheep. That there were ravening wolves that were going to come in. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. That's what they do. And pastors have a duty to protect the flock. It's their one of their main purposes. They're always vigilant. They always need to be vigilant. They always need to be on it. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? Because of verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. How do they work? By the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are people that lie in wait to deceive the sheep of the church. Now, that doesn't have a lot to do with what you and I are talking about in that sense, because I'm not preaching to a bunch of pastors right now. But pastors and shepherds, they have to be alert to that. False teachers are very crafty by sleight of hand. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They wait to deceive the masses, to draw men away after them. I won't go into all those verses because we're going to kind of describe the deceptions of false teachers in a moment here. But one of the qualifications of a pastor is to protect the flock. To be vigilant, to be sober. They must be men that deal plainly with error. To warn, to teach about false doctrine. They have to be ready to warn. It's important work. So why does God allow false teachers to carry on their work? Because false teaching reveals true from false Christians. That's one of the things. See, it gets revealed who's real and who's not. God does that work. I've seen that happen. I've seen it happen that God's revealed who's real and who's not by what happened. So God allows them to get away with some things, to prove his own people. Sometimes he flushes out some people that aren't supposed to be there in the church. God does that work. First Corinthians 11, 18 and 19. I have the wrong chapter here. Hang on. Oh, nope, that's right. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and partly I believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. So he says here that Paul says that he believed that there were some heresies there, and God was going to root that out. First Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is what they do. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. God proves whether those people are real or not. I've seen that happen, man. I've seen wolves rise up in a church. And I've watched the phony people walk right out the door with the wolf. And God done cleared his church out of a bunch of wolves and a bunch of fake sheep, a bunch of goats, or a pack of wolves. I watched God do it years ago. I watched it happen. 5-6 years ago, I watched God pick up a bunch of, throw a whole wolf pack out of the church. All the wolves and the Jezebels and all of them just take off, and they all went off with each other. All took off and left. I watched it. God did that. That's why God allows it. He allows those wolves to rise up sometimes so other people will follow them and take off and leave with them, because he don't want them in the flock with the sheep. Amen. Saw that firsthand, man. You better believe it. I watched it happen. Let's see. First Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy, sorry. Second Timothy chapter 2, 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. We just talked about this. Their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Because it's not long-standing real faith. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God reveals who are really his children. God reveals who are really his sheep. I watched him do it. Absolutely watch God do it. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's right. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Yep. Watched it. Number two, God is allowed. You say, why does God allow false teachers to carry on their work? Number two, God is allowing Satan and evil men to work out their own wills to a certain degree in this present age. Look at 2 Thessalonians. It proves it. Chapter 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. God has set bounds of their liberty, though. Their judgment is waiting. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Exactly. And there's more verses, but we're going to keep moving on here. There's an evil of false teaching. False teachers are deceivers. They profess to be representatives of Christ, but actually they are representing the devil. Second Corinthians 11, you know those verses, don't you? You remember them. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. There's an evil, there's a sin with that. They turn people away from the truth. I marvel, says Galatians 1:6, that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. There's a curse on that. They turn people away from the truth of the gospel that Jesus saves, that you must repent and believe the gospel, that you are dead in trespasses and sins, guilty before God, on your way to hell, and you deserve it. But Jesus died for your sins, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day to save your soul. False teachers are wolves. They're robbers. They're thieves and robbers. Look at John chapter 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Acts 20, verse 30. Also, actually verse 29, he says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." It's very dangerous. It's evil. There's evil in that false teaching that teaches against the gospel. And these wolves rose up that Paul warned about. They started teaching things contrary to sound doctrine. "And also of your own selves shall men arise, and they do not spare the flock." Not sparing the flock. They don't care who they hurt, and they don't care who they destroy. I've seen it. I've served with people for years and watched them turn out to be bloodthirsty wolves that do not care about the sheep that they destroy or they try to devour. They do not care if they enter into the flock as wolves. Shall grievous wolves, and I've had them come. I've had wolves come before. I've watched them. I've dealt with them. I've dealt with those wolves. I've watched what they do to people and how they destroy sheep, how they lie about them, slander them. Mercilessly go after the shepherd of the flock and try to devour and bite and destroy the shepherd. Try to destroy his family. Try to destroy children. Try to destroy everything they possibly can. They're ravening wolves. That's what they do. They have no mercy. Not sparing the flock. It's what they do. They bite and devour and destroy, and they have tactics and techniques they use. Cunning, crafty, lying in wait like a wolf does. Lies in wait for its prey like a lion does. They lie in wait for its prey. They lie in wait to deceive. They'll go out of their way. They'll go downwind a mile to get what they want and to destroy their prey. It's what they do. They don't care. All they want to do is bite and devour and destroy and cause destruction. They have no mercy. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." They will not spare. They represent the devil. They turn people away from the truth. They're thieves and destroyers and robbers of God's churches. They thieve and they grieve. That's what they do. And their goal is to destroy. That's what they do. They rob people of liberty in Christ. Boy, do they. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Uh-huh. Now they rob people of their liberty. They're very cunning, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Very crafty. Subtle. They even come as a friend. They're not your friend. What they do. It's how they do it. And they don't care. The deception of these wolves or false teachers is warned to us in the scriptures. What are their deceptions? What do they do? Go back to one of our text verses, Matthew 7:15. Here's their deception. Deception number one. They come to you in sheep's clothing. They come as a lamb. They come looking like this. That's how they come. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. But they come as a friend. They come looking like a sheep. But it is only their outward clothing. Oh, I know they do, Pinky Sue. I know full well. She said, wolves go after the shepherds too. They sure do. They smite the shepherd that the sheep would scatter. But they cut, number one, they come to you in sheep's clothing. They come in a meekness and a false humility, and they come in sheep's clothing, wrapped up to destroy. What they do, it's their work. Number two. It's why they're so dangerous, by the way. They're so dangerous because they look like sheep. Number two, they deceive many. Matthew 24. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name. By the way, there's a comma there. For many shall come in my name. First, these men that lie in wait to deceive, they come in the name of Christ. They do not come in the name of Antichrist. They do not come in the name of other entities. They come in the name of Christ. Hold on a second. I'm going to get my jacket on. I'm kind of cold. That's how they come. They come in the name of Christ. saying, I am Christ and shall deceive many. So they present it. Wolves present a false Christ. They present a false Christ. What they do. Verse number 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Verse number 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Jesus warned about it. Number three, they are deceitful workers. We looked at this verse already, but we'll look at it again. Might be 2 Corinthians. Let me see. Yep, 2 Corinthians. Sorry. Second Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles. Deceitful workers. That's what they are. They're very deceptive. Very deceptive workers. They are also called false brethren unawares. Galatians 2. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, they are false brethren. Unawares. They've been brought in unawares. Who came in privily. Five, they have cunning craftiness. That word cunning, skillful, experienced, well instructed, wrought with skill, artful, shrewd, sly, crafty, designing, a cunning fellow. Deceitful, trickish, employing stratagem for a bad purpose, subtly, cunning, craftiness, artful. They have a stratagem, a strategy to deceive. To devise a plan, a cunning plan. It's how they work. Number six, they have seducing spirits. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Doctrines of devils, seducing spirits. They seduce men away. They draw men away after them. They seduce men away. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, number 7. They speak lies hypocritically. Number 8, they creep into houses. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. They creep into houses. They creep in. They're not upfront with their motives and what their intentions are. They're seducers, deceived and being deceived. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They not only set out to deceive, they're deceived themselves. Deceiving and being deceived. One of the aspects of what they do. Wolves use feigned words. And many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words. Invented, devised, imagined, assumed. With vain or feigned words. Fake words. We are warned. In 2 John, verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world. There are many deceivers that are entered into the world. They lie in wait to deceive. That's the work that they do. They are deceivers, and they enjoy deceiving others because they're deceived themselves. They are those certain men crept in unawares in Jude. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll show you something here. Here's one of these that have crept in unawares. Here's one of these wolves. Are you ready? Andy Stanley. He says that homosexuals who love Jesus, despite God repeatedly telling them no, have more faith than most Christians, and that we have a lot to learn from them. Do you see? That's a wolf. That's a wolf right there. That's exactly what that is. Francis Collins, another vaccine-promoting wolf working for the devil. They're wolves. Lecrae, another wolf, acting like he's Christians while he's hanging out smoking pot with a bunch of devils. A bunch of fallen, wicked men. Todd White, another wolf. Michael, whatever that guy's name is, another wolf. Yes, Kenneth Copeland, another wolf. They are a bunch of wolves. Joel Osteen, another wolf. Hanging out with Oprah, right? Hanging out with the Pope. The Pope, the king wolf of them all. They're a bunch of wolves. Bible tells us what these wolves do. Look at this. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. They make merchandise. Of the people of God. They do not care. They are out for them. Not to protect the flock. Not to preach the truth to them. Some of those should really be obvious. Like the fake and phony false apostle, Catherine Crick. Dressed like a whore. who I personally think is a lesbian. Personally. But that's who they are. Paula White. Joyce Meyer. Greg Locke. Pastor Greg Locke speaking at the Reawaken America tour. He is a wolf like you never believed. He is the biggest wolf among any fundamentalist ever. Pretending to cast out demons. Him and his witchy wife. His wife's a stinking witch. And he's a little sorcerer. I called it, though. I called it a while back. That guy is going full-blown charismatic. And people that follow that guy, they're following his pernicious ways. Faith, Freedom, and Salt and Light Conference. I'm going to tell you what Greg Locke's doing. He's following the money. That's what Greg Locke is doing. He is following the money. He is a huckster, and he's following the money. He ain't no different than Phil Kidd doing the same thing. Following the money. That's all they're doing. It's big money and big prizes, and that's what they're doing. I knew that guy was a stinking phony years ago when I watched him. Like, that guy is an absolute phony. And then when he ditched his wife and grabbed another broad and turned into Mr. Ghostbuster running around, that's the fruit of it. You can see it. There you go. What are those guys? Seducers. They are certain men crept in unawares. How are you going to have any ounce of spirituality about you when you ditch your wife and marry your secretary? Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I mean, that ought to have been a big duh factor for people that Greg Locke was a fake when he ditched his wife. That should have been like an initial whoa. And then he joined the NAR movement, all these other stupid idiots, these charismatic nut jobs. I could tell his wife was a stinking witch right when I looked at her. I just knew she was a witch. I was like, that lady's a witch. Here it is right here. If you want to learn more about Greg Locke, the wolf. Pastor Greg Locke and his wife, Global Vision Bible Church, Charismatic Witches, Phony Exorcisms. But that's what those people do. They call out witches and they do those things. Right? When they're the ones practicing witchcraft. Because they're not even obeying the scriptures. Not even close. To obey in the scriptures. So they are seducers, right? The nature of false teachers. These wolves. False teachers are not serving Jesus Christ. But they serve their own interests. Romans 16, 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Number two, false teachers are Satan's ministers. They're counterfeit Christians, like we talked about. False apostles, deceitful workers. Number three, false teachers are cursed. Let them be accursed. And so say I now again, if any man. Preach any of the gospel, and that which you have received, let him be accursed. False teachers are cut off from Christ. Galatians 5, verse number 4. Christ has become of none effect, no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Means they never had it in the first place. They never believed it. Because there's no way you could be justified by the law. It's not possible for you to be justified by the law. For by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. So they're not real Christians, is what he's saying. False teachers shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. False teachers are reprobates. 2 Timothy 3:8. Now, as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They're reprobate. False teachers are imposters. 2 Timothy 3. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. False teachers are condemned and subverted. Titus 3, 10 and 11. Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, and Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Knowing that such is subverted. They're overthrown. There are some people that you want to try to help, and they're already gone. They won't listen to you. They can't listen to you. Why? They've been subverted. There's a satanic subversion, a mystical type of spiritism that comes over them. There's a seducing spirit there, and you're not going to get through to them. They're subverted. They don't have God. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Those men don't have God. They're not of God. They are twice dead. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Right? Oops, I missed that verse. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds are they without water. Carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth. Without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Twice dead. Means they're lost men and they're going to hell. That's what it means. They do not have the Spirit of God. These be they who separate themselves. Sensual, having not the Spirit. That's what those false prophets are, those wolves. What they do, how they destroy. All right. Well, I'm pretty much done. So what I'm going to do is play a song, give you a chance to say hello. I'll even tell you what song I'm going to play. How about that? How about we play by Darcell McCoy? I need the area.
I need the every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
All right, that was I Need Thee Every Hour. Let me say hi to some folks here. Mind My Biz. You like Darcell McCoy? Well, make sure you take that address down, hbcnyc.org/music, and you can listen to that anytime you'd like to. Let's see. All right, good. Lori's on there. Hope you're doing good, Lori Sandring. Okay, let's play another one here. Let's see. How about this? Whoop, I told you I was going to tell you what it was, didn't I? My Jesus, I Love Thee.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My grace, gracious Redeemer, my Savior, art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for when
Okay, there you go. That was My Jesus, I Love Thee. This is at that website, hbcnyc.org. I put it in the chat, so you have that. We'll play one more, and then we'll get out of here. I'll say goodbye to you, that is, and then we'll get out of here. Let's see. How about we do... let's go with Stand By Me. Oops. I said I was going to do that, and I keep forgetting. Stand By Me. Same one, D'Arcy McCoy.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, now who rulest wind and water, stand by me. And in the midst of tribulations, stand by me. In the midst of tribulations, stand by me. When the host of hell assails, my strength begins to fail. Thou who never lost a battle, stand by me.
Everybody, God bless you. Let me. Oh, I better stop here. Oh, he's gonna keep singing. I gotta stop him. All right, there you go. All right, we got that stopped. Okay, well, I hope you learned something here. We had almost 60 people on today, so that was good. On that platform, then we had Sermon Audio, of course, which has its own group, and hardly nobody gets on Facebook. I stream there for the fun of it. There's 15 on Sermon Audio today. So that was good. But so praise the Lord. Anyway, but so glad the message is getting out there. If you would, please pray for our ministry. Continue to pray for us. We will be going preaching this weekend, this Saturday. We'll be preaching out at the Winter Carnival and tracting and handing out everything, tracts at the Winter Carnival. So you pray for us that the Lord would continue to bless that, right? Bless the work that we do and all that, and the gospel being preached, and that souls would be saved, and that lives would be changed, and that seeds would be planted in the hearts of people. So pray for us there. Also pray if the Lord would touch your heart to give to our ministry. You can give through PayPal. That is salvationpreacher@gmail.com. You can give through that if you'd like. Or you can give through Venmo, Apple Pay, Western Union. Boy, I can't think of all the other ones, but there's other Coinbase, all that kind of stuff, okay? There's a number of different ways. You can contact us, or you can do it the old-fashioned way, and if you want to mail something, you can mail it to 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. And if you can't at all do anything, I know you can pray, and you can ask God to speak to somebody else's heart to give to the ministry, if that's God's will. And you know something? If you couldn't give anything, we're okay. We're really okay with that. That's fine. You just keep listening because we're not too concerned with that. But I always give people the opportunity because they've asked me, like, you know, how can we give? So I started giving people that information because I'd been asked before about it. And then I just felt led of the Lord just to tell people, plain and simple. Some people want direction sometimes. Like, what do you need? So that's why we do that. But either way, we're not too concerned about it from that standpoint, because God always takes care of us. But he uses folks all around the world to do that, and I'm so blessed by that, and I appreciate that. And I hope we've been a blessing to you, and I hope we can share that with many others around. Amen? So, all right. Anyway, God bless you all, and I'm going to get out of here. We'll be back, Lord willing, Wednesday, 2 p.m. Central Time. Wednesday, 2 p.m. Central Time, and Lord willing, and hopefully we'll be a blessing for you and all that good stuff. All right, God bless you all. Take care.